impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered. And they were waiting for something to happen. The moving of the water. For they said an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And there was a certain man there which had an infirmity, a problem, a sickness that was not specified, but it was something for 38 long years. How much disappointment did he see? Week after week, service after service, year after year. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, we got some cases here today. But Jesus saw him. But it's interesting that it said that Jesus knew how long he'd been there, but then he didn't go into rise, take up your bed, and walk immediately. Because many people come in the house of God and expect God to show up and then just say a word and say, take up your bed, rise and walk. But that's not what Jesus said to him. Jesus initiated a question before he performed a miracle. Some of you need a miracle, but you better hear the question first. And he says, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to change? The impotent man answered him, saying, sir, not really knowing who he was talking to, not even realizing who was he in the midst of, who was he in the presence of. You can be in the presence of the Lord and not even know it. Your miracle can be looking at you and you don't even know it. Because you've been in a position for such a long time, today couldn't be your day. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, somebody else steps down before me. Jesus then answered, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. On this theme service, we have a theme service the first of every month, the first Sunday of every month. Our theme for this year, Lord put on our heart, is back to the basics. I want to title this message that I believe it will influence all of us this morning, including myself, even when I don't feel like it. Even when I don't feel like it. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, there is a spirit that has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Its purpose is to beat down men and women of God. And one opportunity that it uses is complacency, a spirit of complacency. But I come with authority this morning. I come with anointing this morning. Hallelujah. I come with faith and power this morning. I come knowing that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I come, oh God, with the end of that scripture that says, but I come that you might have a life and it more abundantly. And so, God, we have come together to combat some spirits that would try to hinder the will and the opportunity that God has before us. And so right now I'm asking you to lose your power, lose your anointing, and allow every demonic influence to be destroyed right now. right now, there is going to be some chains that are going to break. There is going to be some liberty that is going to manifest itself in this house. And we sing, God, not, oh God, by our own strength or our might or our wisdom, but by the demonstration of the powerful word of the Lord. And so I believe and I expect there is going to be demonstration in the house of God as the word of God goes forward. Today is someone's day of hope and deliverance and power. And there will be a fire that is going to burn in this house this morning. If you believe it, clap your hands and shout unto God. Praise God. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord this morning. Here lies a setting of scripture that has so much meat in, and I want to get, praise God, involved with a people who have been stuck in a place of complacency, to come out of that place of complacency. And the reason why this topic we are going to cover this morning is so important, it is because God is going to show us that I am a God of limitless power. And I always want my people, the Lord is saying, to know that we serve a God that always has the capacity, always has the capability, and he also has the compassion to make things better in our lives. The question can never be raised, can God make things better? I want to tell you, the question always needs to be not can God make things better, but am I ready to receive what God is able to do? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that I can ask or think. What does that tell me? God has a greater expectation about what he can do in yourself than even what you can believe that God wants to do. When you interact with Jesus, he simply makes everything better. Can I get an amen? Because simply put, everything Jesus touches is better. Everything that Jesus interacts with is better. Everything the Lord speaks to should and will get better, feel better, and live better. The reason as to why, though, that is not always the experience, though, because I'm going to always try my best to keep it real. Because in church, absolutely, we should have our faith built and lifted. In the house of God, there should absolutely be emotionalism. There should be a spirit of hope and a spirit of expectation. There should be a sense in every one of us that when we come expecting the word of God, should put us in the position that things after the word of God are going to be better before the word of God. But at the same time, as we have that expectation, the true reality is, yes, everything that Jesus touches and everything that Jesus interacts with is always going to be better. But sometimes when we leave the house of God, it does not always look like that's our actual experience. But I want to be clear, it's not because God can't. Not because God won't. The issue might be we really don't want what God really wants to do. I know it might be rough a little bit as I get going. But I come to you this morning to address something that is always synonymous with human nature, and that is the spirit of complacency. Complacency is a thing that is a great hindrance to our progression. Complacency is a thing that is a great hindrance to our growth. And when I say our, I mean as a corporate body, but I also mean for you specifically as a family and specifically as an individual. Complacency is a blessing. blight that saps energy. It dulls attitudes and it causes a drain on the brain. The first symptom is satisfaction with the way things are. The second is rejection of things as they might be. And in other words, I got to be complacent because if I begin to believe things can be better now, maybe I'm let down. Maybe it is not all pan out. And that spirit gets a hold of you that says, let today just be good enough. Become today's watch word and tomorrow's standard. Complacency makes people fear the unknown and mistrust the untried and abhor what is new. But in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, God said, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. And if I'm going to walk in the new things of God, then complacency has to be addressed. If I'm going to walk in a higher level in God, then complacency has to be brought to our attention. Like water, complacent people follow the easiest course, which is downhill. All across our state, because I've been traveling the state this past week, and there's water in all of the low places, because it's easy for water always to trickle down to the point of least resistance, and it keeps you going downhill, and they draw false strength from looking back. I'm going to tell you, it's not the time to look back on where you were. It's time to get your eyes focused on what God still wants to do now, and nothing but behind you. You have to make up in your mind and stop from where you desire to go in the kingdom of God. But complacency is the great camouflage the enemy wraps himself in, because it is unnoticed unless it is confronted. Complacency is what causes you to lose your worship. Complacency is what causes you to lose your drive. Complacency is what keeps you in cycles, and you know, bless God, this pastor will keep on preaching against cycles. I refuse to allow anybody under our ministry to think you're stuck in your cycle. I want to tell you, God is going to deliver you from your cycles. I better believe it today. God is going to remove the cycles that you think have chained your life. Keeping you in bondage. Keeping you from accessing more. If God can do anything for us, then what is the thing that causes the gap of actually seeing it happen? Because I am a faith and deliverance preacher, but how come we don't see more faith and more deliverance? I tell you, it is complacency. It is complacency that will see the potential of things getting better, but feeling I just don't feel like doing what it takes for it to get better. Someone who is complacent is simply someone who says, I just don't feel like it. They don't want to change their current habits. They don't want to wake up earlier. They don't want to study. They don't want to put in the time. They don't want to be work. They don't want it to be a sacrifice. They don't want it to be hard or difficult. They don't want to put in the extra effort. They don't want to do what it takes for things to be different. Complacency is those that just want things to happen by themselves. But I tell you right now, change does not happen by accident. Your life will not be turned and be different by accident. There has to be a conscious decision that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of the same old battles, the same old problems, the same old mess. But I say this is my year. I'm going to rise up and say enough complacency. I'm walking into the powerful destiny that God has for my life. Hey, I got to say it's time for a change. Ronald Meredith said it this way concerning complacency when he mentioned it this way, hurrying for no big reason. He says there was a mallard on the lake that sees flying geese above him in the V formation. There is something, now hear me right now, because in every individual, someone that's been baptized in Jesus' name, someone who said yes to the calling of God, someone who received the gift of the Holy Ghost, God implants a strong desire in you for the things of God. You get it when you're born again. And that geese, there's something internally that draws them, that is pulling them to fly with the others that are flying in that V formation. There is a stirring up that is so natural in them that they want to soar and they want to feel the air under them, and they begin to flap but a little bit, but they never actually leave the comfort of the water and the field next to them that's filled with so much corn for them to eat at any time they want. They could go to so many better places they are now, but because of complacency, they stay where it's comfortable. They stay where it's familiar. They stay where it's easy and there's no problems around them, because they don't feel like moving forward. They stay where they are. But I want to tell somebody, this is the hour where God is causing some of you to soar like you've never soar before. It's the hour there should be something inside of you that says, God, I gotta go further. I gotta go deeper. I gotta go beyond where I'm at. I'm tired of seeing the same old stuff. I want to see new things in God. If that's you this morning, clap your hands and say, God, I want to see new things. In our text in John chapter 5, we find a place called Bethesda, having five porches. Please hear me right now. Please hear me right now. The name Bethesda means house of mercy, which means it can represent the church or the building or the house of God, because this place this morning in your life, it is a house of mercy. In this house, you're not going to get what you do deserve. You are going to get what you don't deserve. And you better know that today is a day for the blood of Jesus to wash away all of your sins. And let me tell you something, we hear that time and time again, but can I tell you what else it does? It not only washes away the sin, it washes away the guilt and the stain as well. The devil wants to keep on lying to you. I tell you right now, as a Holy Ghost filled preacher, the devil is a liar. And not only is he removing the sin, he's saying, I'm also removing the guilt. No more condemnation is going to be upon you. You are the house of mercy. And when the mercy of God shows up, he ain't going to bring up your past. The only thing that we brought up is the future you got in God. That's greater than what your past ever was. Is there anybody here with a testimony that knows God can change you? I said God can change it. I said God can change it. If you knew what I was, if you knew what I was strung out on, where I've been. But today, the mercy of God is here. Because all through this message, the enemy will whisper words of condemnation. You're going to hear the excitement, and you're going to be dragged back down. That's not for me, because I know what I've just done this past week. I know where I haven't been successful in some areas. But the first thing you got to notice is where they were. You got to know you're in the Lord's house. You got to know this is a hospital and the doctor is in the building. You got to know he's about to work some miracles in your life. He's getting his gloves together. He's getting all the tools together. Get my scalpel. Get my tools and get my anesthetic, because I'm going to touch them. And when they come out, they ain't leaving the same way they came in. When the doctor shows up, the sickness in your body and in your mind is about to get healed. I said the sickness in your spirits, God's about to heal you today. The house of mercy. Notice who's at the house of mercy. The devil tells you, don't go today to the house of mercy, because he paints a picture of the wrong people. at the house of mercy. He tells you don't belong at the house of mercy, because the house of mercy is all those perfect people, all those judgmental people, all the people that are going to look at you when you get here and point their finger and whisper at you. It seemed like when you come to church that all your sins are on your forehead. You can't go to the house of mercy because you're going to want to praise. But when you do, I'm going to remind you of your fault. I'm going to remind you of your sin. Can I give up? Can I pause for a moment? That's why when I know for myself, I've heard those as I've grown up in the house of God. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run. I'm going to jump. I'm going to dance and say, devil, you know what? You just might be right. Devil, you might have a point. But in spite of all that, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Thank you that I'm in the house of mercy. And I'm going to praise my God. Something gonna break in this house. Somebody go get revelation today, and God go set you free through your praise, through your understanding that the house of mercy is a place. That had not a few, not a handful, but in the house of God was a great multitude. And he specified the type of multitude. Impotent folk, blind folk, halt folk, withered folk, waiting for something to change. All types of people come to the house of mercy. All type of people walk through our front doors. All type of people show up in the house. A great multitude show up all over our country. But can I tell you who they are? They're problem people. They're people with issues and circumstances that are going on. Number one, it says blind folk. Allow me to represent that. It is those who cannot see. It represents people who have no vision for what is still in front of them. But yet they are still in the house of God. Maybe you're here right now and you say, that's me. I'm blind. I don't know if I'm going up or down, left or right. I got all kind of chaos around me. I can't even see. But I want to tell you, even though right now you feel like you can't see in the spirit and you'll find yourself blind, Jesus is in the house and he wants to change your blindness. It represents people that are present in the house of God, in the house of mercy, but they cannot see what God is trying to prepare for them. Aren't able to see the possibilities that what God could do. They can be in the house of mercy, but they're blind and they only see darkness. That's who's there in the house. And then it says, halt or lame folk. Being lame represents those that some of your functions work, but then there are those that don't work. I got some real good things that I'm good at. I got some good things that I can praise myself and pat myself on the back about. I got some areas that I'm a 10 in. I can conquer in these areas. I'm good at this area. But on the other hand, there's some areas that don't function the way I want them to. I might be joyous and bubbly in this area, but in this area, I got a deep spirit of anger that rises up. And we're talking to anybody in the house. I love to sing and praise and be excited in this area. But when it comes to sexual sins, I'm halt in. I have no problem of giving and supporting the church and showing up for outreach. I'm good at that. But I got some problems of addictions. I got problems of depression. I got problems of anxiety. Am I talking to the great multitude that are in the house? I'm good in one area, but weak in one area. I'm strong in one area, but weak in one other area. I do well in this area here, but in this area I want to do good. I find myself unable to do it. Oh, wretched man that I am, and I'm still in the house of mercy, but yet there's a struggle in my soul. I want to do right, but evil seems to be present with me. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and I'm still in the house of mercy. Things might be going okay financially, but there's a home that's a mess. My prayer life is lame. And I'm halting. I can read my Bible, study, but I can't pray. Those that are lame are those that are not living nor operating to your full potential. You're living at a place here, but you and I, and God knows, it's not your full potential. And you've been coasting, and you've been there, but your best is not there. Your intensity is nowhere to be found. Somewhere along the line, you became lame. Think about how someone becomes lame. Usually, and read it in the Bible, that those that become lame usually are those that are running, and something trips them up. They were doing and running well, but something happened. Something triggered. A loss of some sort, a divorce, a job situation, a health situation. Something while they were running happened, and they were tripped up, and now they're not functioning on the level that God wants them to, because now they're halt, they're limited, and they're lame. And then we find paralyzed folk or withered folk. And paralyzed represents that you can see what needs to happen, but you seemingly just can't move into it. You know what needs to change. You can see it. You know what needs to happen. You can feel it. You know all the areas of what it needs to happen to be different. And there's something that wants to change. But when you try to do it, you just are paralyzed. I'm talking to anybody today. There's some things you want to be different, but you seem like you cannot move. You are withered. You are paralyzed. You can't literally break forth. I can think fine, my mind is right, but I just can't move into action. You see, when you're paralyzed, it doesn't mean you can't think. It just means you can't move. And there are some thinkers in this house, but you're paralyzed. There are some, I know what to do, but I can't do it. You're paralyzed. I know what to do, but I can't find the strength to do it. But all of those were in the house of mercy at the location where they believe things can change. And so if that was any of you here today, can I tell you that's why you're here? Because you say, I may not have it all together, but I know where to go. No, I don't have everything right. All my T's are not crossed. All my I's are not dotted. I got a whole lot of problems. But I do got one thing going for me. At least I know where to go. At least I'm in the house of God. At least I got a little bit of hope. I know
that when God shows up, that he's the one that has the power to change my anger, to change my hate, to change my problems and my addiction. Jesus is in this house.
And so in the setting, there was a man who was amongst all the others. And consider yourself as like that man. And the Bible says he was there for 38 years with an infirmity. The Lord, I believe specifically, did not tell us exactly what his problem was, because he wanted all of us to identify that could be me as well. All of my life, I've been in this place. All of my life, at the same time I've been there, I've seen others get blessed. For 38 years, I've seen others get their prayers answered. For 38 years, I saw others get their promotions, their deliverance, their change. After all these years, and all the great multitude that was there, all the people that were in that place, all the people that were present, all the people there, somehow, Jesus went and had to literally jump over people and move over people to get to where he was. See, I'm stepping on people. All the people that were there, Jesus made sure. I know there's a great multitude of people. I'm going to make sure you know I'm not picking on you. I'm going where you are. I'm not trying to be rude to you. I know there's a whole bunch of people that have needs, but somehow, some way, he was drawn to one. When God begins to move on you and step on your toes, don't you look at that as something negative. That man could have said, all the people are here, why are you coming to me? You better get your mind right. Instead of, God allowed me to be here in the house today, you better know that God has your name on his solution. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're here, God, the Bible says, no man can come to the Father except I draw him. If you're here right now, Jesus is moving things out of the way to get to you. If you're here right now, Jesus is might be moving beyond somebody and say, as a magnet to me, to you, I'm going to touch you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to help you. If you're here right now, you should stand on your feet and say, okay, God, do whatever. Do whatever you want to do. You got my attention. Jesus sees you. Think about your life right now. Jesus is in your life. Jesus has shown favor to you. Do you not know there are 6 billion plus people in this world, but yet you are here? Can you hear Jesus saying, you're not here by accident? I called you, I've chosen you, and I'm going to work for you. Jesus says, if I showed up, then get the question out of your mind. Whether or not you're favored, whether or not you're loved, whether or not he cares, that question's already answered by you physically breathing in your body right now. So he's here, and he's asking us a question. I need you to evaluate yourself. I'm all powerful, but I'm a gentleman. And I know your heart. And I had to come to a point myself, Sister Barlow, within a few months, I had to ask myself a question. Do I want to be made whole as well? Do I really want what God desires? Do I really want his will? I'm not talking about positions. I'm not talking about titles, accolades.
Pat in the back's prayer. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about anybody seeing anything. I'm talking about in the inner circles of my heart that I know between me and God. I'm asking myself, do I really want God's power? Do I really want God's will? Do I really want him in control of my life? And Jesus says, I know how long you've been really dealing with that thing. Jesus did not ask him how long. The Bible says Jesus already knew. And I'm sure there was evidence in his lifestyle, evidence among his tent, how complacent he had gotten, thinking that even though I'm here, it's never going to change. I do commend every one of you that's here in the house of God. I commend that man who stayed at the house of mercy, because you would never get your healing unless you make up in your mind that no matter how long I gotta be here, I'm gonna be here. If I give him credit for anything, at least he kept on showing up. Come on, somebody. I've been here week after week, year after year, and I'm still laying here, but I see you next week. I'm going to be back. I'm going to tell somebody, God is going to loose a miracle in your life if you learn faithfulness. I tell you what he had. He had faithfulness. He made up in his mind, if I get healed today or not, if the water is going to jump or not, I will be in the house of mercy. And others are healed, and others are blessed, and I got nothing. I'll still be here next week. But when it does finally come to me, when it is finally my turn, Jesus is going to be honest with me. And Jesus is going to look me directly in my face, in my eyes. He's going to say, do you want to be healed? I know how long you've been in this condition. I've seen the arrangements you've made in the place you've been in. I see the mental ascent you now have and how you've grown accustomed to this place you've been in. You've made your adjustments. You talked yourself out of stuff. You've gotten kind of used to this complacent place. I know you've been lying here for a long time, so is bitterness in you too strong? I know you've been here for a long time, so are you just so frustrated with me that you really don't want to go anywhere different now because you wanted it a long time ago? And God, I've already reached past beyond my prime. And the Lord's asking, is bitterness too much in your way? Has your heart gotten too hard because you've been sick for so long? And whatever that is going on in your life, God's asking you a question this morning. Do you really want to come out of your cycle? Or are you now okay with where you've been and where you are? Jesus asked him a question. To have him question his own willingness. How willing am I really? I'm wanting to know, do you feel like being different than what you've always been? You know you're going to have to get a job now. You know you got to stop begging. You know you got to stop feeling sorry for it. You know you have to stop feeling sorry for yourself. You know you got to wipe your face and get up and stand like a man and stand like a woman now. You know you can't live where you always live. You know that there will be a level of expectation when I do my work. There is going to be some responsibility you are going to have to possess if I do that miracle. Do you really want it? Maybe you've gotten used to this place. Jesus understood that many people confuse seasons with cycles. Seasons change with time. Cycles change when people change.
Sometimes you're going to go through a season. It'll change with time. But you're not going to get out of your cycle until you change. Not your environment. You. You are the common denominator. You are the constant in the many variables. Jesus had to ask, do you want to be made whole? Because a lot of people would rather just sit there and expect things to happen with no effort. People want their situation to change, but they don't want to change. People want the relationship to change that they are in, but they don't want to change. People want there to be a harvest, but they don't want to sow. People want things better, but they want somebody else to make it happen. Look at his answer. Sir, I don't have a man to get me in the water when the water's troubled. I want things to happen, but I need somebody to help me get there. I want to get in the water, but somebody come get me. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you got to make up your mind. It's just me and Jesus. It's just me and Jesus. With the condition that some of us are in, we think we have to have assistance. But that's why you've been where you're at. Now, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. There's some areas where you need to ask for help. I hope you get what I'm saying. But don't get to a point where you're only going to move when somebody helps you first. You need to initiate the conversation. Right. Amen. People have grown complacent, and I'm closing here. Because they've watched others get what they're trying to get, but feel inadequate or incapable to get whatever they want to get. So it's easier to make excuses to why they are where they are. Jesus asked them, do you want to be made whole? He says, no one helps me. Everybody helps somebody else. I didn't get that break growing up like somebody else did. I didn't have that father like somebody else did. I didn't have that example. I didn't have that help that somebody else has. So you think you are excused of where you're at because of your background. The devil's a liar. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Jesus is so interesting how he works. He asked him a question. He honestly did not give the right response. Jesus ignored it and said, rise. Take up your bed and walk. You know what I noticed? That even though we don't sometimes respond the right way that we should respond, it still didn't stop Jesus from speaking into his life. Because maybe you're here right now and maybe you're saying, preacher, that was a good word, but I don't know if I'm ready. I still tell you that Jesus is still going to do his part. Jesus was still speaking to your life. And so right now, Devin, I want you to come. I want you all to raise your hand right now and know that Jesus is saying, I don't care what your excuse is. I'm still in front of you. I'm still your answer. I'm still your help. I'm still going to change the cycles of your life. No matter what your answer is, Jesus still wants to help you. So don't let discouragement get you out of the place where you're supposed to be. Favor finds the faithful. Again, I repeat to you, he was just there. You want the favor of God? You got to be faithful. You want the fire of God? You got to be faithful. You want the hand of God to move in your life and pass others by? Then you at least got to be there at the house of mercy so he can work at the moment he's about to work. What if that time he says, I'm not going to go today. I'm not going to show up today. He would have missed his final breakthrough. Today is your day, church. Jesus is here today. It's time to rise, take up your bed, and walk. I want everyone to make their way down to this altar right now. You've been lying in defeat. You've been lying in condemnation. You've been lying in your past. You've been lying in your filth. You've been lying in your mistakes. But Jesus wants to allow you to rise today.
So as you come down to this altar, I want you to begin to cry out to God and say, Lord, even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to find myself going back to the basics. I'm going to be in the house of God, but I'm coming worshiping. I'm coming knowing that your compassion and your grace and your mercy is not going to fail. It's not going to give up on me. It's going to do so many great things in me. And I want you to expect the power of God to work. Now, come on, lift your voices right now. Come on and receive the powerful love of God. Come on, let him love on you right now. Go ahead and raise your hands and say, Lord, speak into my heart. Change my cycles. That's it, church. A prayer meeting going to break out of this house. The love of Jesus Christ is moving through the altar right now. And say, Lord, I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive, oh God. I've been here for a long time, but I believe today is my day. I believe this is my moment, oh God, to rise. No more excuses. I'm going back to the basics. I will be in the house of God. I will sing unto your face and for your help, oh God. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Come on, tell him I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I will be in the house of God. So when it's my moment and my turn, I won't miss my breakthrough. I won't miss my answer. And God wants to refill somebody with the Spirit. God wants somebody to get hungry for His Spirit in this house. And God said, this is your moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're crying out to God. 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 Come on, will he find faithfulness? Will he find faithfulness? Will he find sincerity? Will he find hunger? Will he find those that say, I want to be made whole? I need you, Lord. That's it. Raise your voices. Lift your voices. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh in this house upon every heart. Spirit of the living God, restore our hearts. Spirit of the living God, restore our brokenness. Spirit of the living God, I don't want to be complacent. I want to be a set of fire. I want to come out of my cycles. I want to break through, Lord Jesus. I'll be here. I'll be here calling on you. I'll be here reaching out to you. I'll be here seeing your face. I'm going to reach my full potential in you, Lord. I'm going to soar, God. Something's pulling me higher. Pulling me higher. Drawing me closer to your Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost take over church. The Holy Ghost is moving through the eyes right now. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is moving. Jesus is operating. Humble yourself with the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself with the presence of God. Humble yourself to what God is doing in this place. Oh, Jesus. Our breakthrough's happening. I see tears falling. God is dealing with the hearts of this house. God restoring someone's trust in Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's it, Lord. I cry out to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, that's it. He's moving in these altars. He's moving in our hearts. He's saying, I got a plan. I got a place in the destination I got for you.
You might not have all the right answers, but I'm still going to speak a word into your life. I got to be transformed in the renewing of my mind. I need to be transformed in the renewing of my mind. I got to surrender, oh God, to you fully, Lord God. I better take up my bed and walk, oh God. I don't care how long my infirmity been going on. Jesus is here to call me higher. Jesus is here to draw me closer.
I'm under the umbrella of the Word of God, and then God will speak a word at the right moment. You're going to speak a word. One thing have I desire of the Lord. 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 I gotta be in the house. I gotta inquire in His temple. I gotta be in the house of God. That's it. That's it, everybody. That's it, you know. That's why it's happening inside of you. Because your heart's open to what God is doing. And He's not done. He's starting something great and mighty. That I may dwell. house of the Lord, the house of mercy, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is drawing us. The Spirit of God is taking us out of complacency. The Spirit of God. Thank you, God, for the freedom in this house. Thank you, God, for the fire that's in this house. Thank you, God, for restoring some faith in this house. Thank you, God, for your delivering power in this house. One more time, why don't we just thank Him? Why don't we show appreciation to God right now for all that He's done in this house? Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your help. And we want, oh God, to take this. I pray, God, as we dismiss in this house, that those who are lingering in your presence, oh God, will continue to linger in your presence. And oh God, God, the conviction, oh God, that we felt in this house. We won't be left here, oh God. But we want to go home, oh God, and get out of some cycles by the power of God. Then we're going to go and take up our bed and walk in the word of God, going forward. And we're trusting, oh God, that you will help us every step of the way. But we will walk, oh God, in your victory.